Good evening, everyone. My name is Leona. I'm going to share with you guys tonight about real health. And to be honest, we had the topics, or the list of topics, and Raina was praying about who should get which topic, and we signed everything, and there were a few left. And he said to me, which one do you want to take? And I said, I don't really know, and I prayed about it, and I felt God say real health. I said to him, I really don't want to speak about real health. I don't think it's important. I'd rather speak about real miracles or like real revival. And he said to me, okay, but you're welcome. It's your choice. And I prayed about it, and God said real health. So I said, okay, I'll speak about real health. And I was quite surprised actually preparing how much the Bible speaks about health. But not necessarily in the way that we think. And I think tonight, you guys are welcome to email ronabosch@shafanline.org and to get the slides. Because I put a lot of scriptures in there, and I'm not going to read everything now or go through everything. But if you're interested, then get the slides, and you can work through it by yourself slowly. I think I'm more going to just touch on some things tonight and really trust that God will highlight the right things to us. But let's pray. God, we consecrate this service to you. Yeah, and Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have something specific in mind tonight that you want to do. And we just choose to follow you tonight, Lord. Let every word that is of you penetrate hearts, and every other word fall to the ground. May you be glorified, Jesus. Amen. I actually want to just check before I start. Is there anyone here who's got a pain on their left side? Like either under your rib, or maybe it feels like it's in your heart. It's somewhere here, a pain. Is there anyone who has that pain tonight or sometimes? You. Okay. Would you mind if I pray for you quickly? Okay. Tara, will you just lay hands on her, please? She says she has that pain sometimes, but not right now. But we're just going to trust God for that. Father, we thank you for Situ, Lord, and that you just came to show me you specifically want to heal that pain right now. So we speak over healing in Jesus' name. That pain, we command it to go. We ask, Lord, that you uproot the origin of that pain, that you reveal what it is, and we just command it to stop right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for your perfect healing over Situ. We release life over Holy Spirit, complete life and peace, Lord. Thank you for your blood and the blood of Christ. Father, thank you that you died for every sickness. And we just declare that perfect healing over Situ now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So when we think about health, actually, let me ask, what do you guys think about when I say health? What does health mean? Vegetables. Anyone else? Banting. Food. I wasn't going to bring up banting, but I didn't. Jason brought it up. I just want to say Jesus is the bread of life. That's all I want to say about that. Any other comments about health? Sorry? What food? Cold and flu. Anything else? Sorry? Active for life. Amen. We're looking to Kathleen there for some exercise. There was someone else at the top there? Discipline. Okay. When I prayed and I prepared, there's three scriptures God gave me, and I think scriptures are obviously applicable to more than health. But let's read them. 1 Corinthians 12:31. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power gifts, the charismatic gifts. And then right at the end it says, but zealously strive after the better gifts. And if you look up that word better, it means, the actual word is stronger. So you should actually translate it as zealously strive to have stronger gifts. So I don't think it actually means that some gifts are better than others. I think it means that the gifts that God uses you in, strive for them to get stronger and stronger. And then it says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And the word that God gave me for tonight is a more excellent way. And then, of course, who knows what 1 Corinthians 13 is about? It's about love. Okay, so Jesus says the more excellent way is love. And then we have a really long scripture, and I'm going to just quickly read through it. Philippians 3, brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what is before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, it just means mature, be this minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whether we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Okay, so Paul says, first thing he says is, we go for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, there's a way to follow Christ, but there's a way to press on more and to press in for the high prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he speaks of those who do not walk that way, and he says, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, whose end is destruction, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, just mean it translates as earthly body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body. So the previous scripture said there's a more excellent way. Okay, so there's a way and there's a more excellent way. Paul is speaking, he says, we can walk with Christ or we can press in and reach for the prize of the high calling in Christ. There's another way. And even especially in Philippians, Paul says that those who do not walk according to this way, how do you see them? Their end is destruction, their God is their belly. There's some people who their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame, and they mind earthly things. So he's saying that the difference is those who press in for the prize of the high calling are those who are not minding earthly things. It says our conversation is in heaven from where we look. What's your perspective? Is your perspective from earthly things, or is your perspective from heaven? You can look at it like this. What's your expectation for yourself? You know, when I was a student, there was someone speaking about relationships. And the lady said, you know, when Christians ask the question, how far is too far, they're looking from the wrong perspective. Because, you know, when you're talking about a physical romantic relationship, if you're saying how far is too far, what you want is you want someone to give you a line and you want to go up to the line. You know, you want to, like, if the line is here, you want to just, like, stay here. And she was saying that a Christian mindset is saying, not where's the line and how close can I get to it? Where's holiness? So she was saying that's not even the right question. And this is the principle that Paul is speaking of. Are we thinking, what is the minimum requirement to walk with God? What is the easiest way to be a Christian? What is the most comfortable way? You know, how close can I get to the line? How little can I give of myself? You know, I'll give because I'm a Christian. I'll give of myself. I'll give of my time, give of my money. I'll love others. But I also want my comfort. So I'm like, if this is my comfort and this is my giving, you know, where can I put this line so that I can just manage to still be a Christian? And the thing about that is we do that because we seek comfort and because we think that that is our fulfillment. And even that is a lie. Because as we press into Christ for the high calling, we give up our comfort and we realize that actually that is contentment. So even that which makes us not press in for the high calling is a deception. We do it because we think it's not going to be best. But when we get to that place where we can trust God, that pressing in for the high calling not trying to stay on that line, but saying, Lord, where's your glory? Where's the maximum? That's actually where the contentment is. Okay, so I'm going to get back to that. That's our perspective that we need to look with, and I'm going to get back to that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, when we speak about health, it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word preserve, if you look at the original word, it says kept without loss or injury. You'll see it speaks about three things, a spirit, a soul, and a body. So as a human, you are those three things. This is your body, the part you can see. Your soul is your emotions, your free will, and your intellect. It's your thinking, it's your mind. It's your emotions, what you feel, what you experience, and it's your free will where you make decisions. Your spirit is your real inner man. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's where you connect to God. Your spirit is made in the image of God, you know, because God is a spirit. And as a human, those three things are not separate. They're all joined within yourself, and they all influence each other. And we can see here that the will of God is that all three of them would be in health, that they all would be preserved without loss or injury. Okay, so we're going to look at the kind of things that you guys mentioned, eating, sleeping, exercising. Let's just look at what the Bible says about that and make a few conclusions. Obviously, I don't know if you guys know, but Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, a lot of Old Testament rules. Who knows some of the Old Testament rules of eating? No pork. No shrimp. No prawns. Big bummer. Okay, so there's some diets out there who actually follow this. I read a book long ago, The Maker's Diet. If you guys know about the paleo diet, there's some diets who goes on this principle that the way people used to eat before is best. Have you heard this argument? You know, 1,000 years ago, there wasn't something like a cesarean section and all the women gave birth naturally. And look, here we are, like, they're all fine. So surely that's the best way to do it. Who's heard that kind of, you know, that can go for any topic, but you've heard that kind of logic? Yeah, it's ridiculous, really. Because 1,000 years ago, one out of three women who gave birth died during childbirth. So that's how it worked out for them. But people never mention that. So a cesarean section is a gift from God, which makes that women don't die when they give birth, you know, and that baby doesn't die and at least has a mother. So that kind of reasoning I always find quite silly. Why, just because someone did something long ago, why is it best? And I'm not saying it's not good to birth naturally. I'm just saying that argument is not valid. Now, it's the same with eating. And even if you look at the Bible, Acts 10, verse 10 to 16, I'm not going to read it. I'm sure you guys know about it. Peter had a vision. God showed him a vision where all these things that God himself said they shouldn't eat came out of heaven on a sheet, and they said to him, eat it. Okay, so if you were reading those things, if you're wondering about that, God himself said that he canceled those rules. Okay. So just if you were wondering. Then if we just look at what the Bible says, so you can have your book. Ecclesiastes 8:15, I commended mirth because man is no better thing under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. Then Proverbs 23:2, put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Someone feels, oh, it's Evan Aiden, he feels strongly about that. The next one, do not be among those who drink too much wine, among gluttons, those who eat too much, for flesh for themselves, flesh meat, eating a lot of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton lose all, and sleepiness shall clothe a man with rags. Next one, whoever keeps the law is a wise son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Just going to read through some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 8 speaks about idolatry, and the context here is that at this time, there were temples where other gods beside God, our God, was worshipped, and they used to take food for the idols, so the food was consecrated to that god. And part of the ceremony of worshipping that god was sometimes to eat that food. And people were asking Paul, if I'm a Christian, can I do that? Can I eat that food? And basically, to summarize this for you, is Paul said, it depends on your conscience. If if you know that that idol is nothing, then you can eat that food and it's fine. But if you feel that by eating that food you will be worshiping that God, then you shouldn't. And then what he goes on to say is that if I go with Janina to an idol temple, which we won't, and she's eating that food, but I am not, I feel if I eat that food, I will be worshiping that God. And she knows I feel that way, but then she eats it because she is strong in Christ. She knows that, or that's just her conviction. She knows that she'll not be worshiping by eating that. Then what Paul is actually saying is she's sinning because she's making me fall, because she's tempting me to do it, whereas it's not wrong for her, but it would be wrong for me. So if some of the spots is, food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. And then further on it says, if food offends my brother, I will eat no meat forever, that I do not offend my brother. So that's quite a challenge for some of us. If eating meat offends your brother, you're going to give up your meat forever. That's what the Bible says. this was quite an interesting scripture for me, and I want to also take this scripture to alcohol, because this is something that I've actually seen. You know, if you can drink alcohol and it's absolutely not a problem for you, you don't drink too much, you're not addicted, it's not, you don't worship alcohol, it's just normal for you, but you're with someone who used to drink too much, and if they take a drink, it's going to take them down that path, or it could possibly, or they, just the fact that you're drinking could make them think that you're going down that path. Then the Bible actually says, if food offends my brother, I'll eat no meat forever, that I do not offend my brother. And I think that's something where we can be sensitive as to our company around us. And I think that extends to more than one thing. If what I do, and it leads the other one down the wrong path, then that's actually sinning in God's eyes. Romans 14, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read a part. It says, if you look at the top, do not let him who eats despise him who does not eat. Do not let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. If he eats, gives God thanks. Let's go down a bit. Nothing by itself is common except to him who esteems anything to be common. But if your brother is grieved with your food, you no longer walk according to love. Do not with your food or your alcohol destroy him for whom Christ died. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what I've also experienced just when I became a Christian, when I was in church, the Maker's Diet. Who of you know what I'm talking about? The Maker's Diet. Okay, it's this book, and the guy basically says that he thinks if you eat like they used to eat in the Old Testament, it will be better for your health, because God told them to eat that way, so surely there's something about it that's good. So that book was quite popular when I became a Christian and I read it, and I myself had in school, high school, I had anorexia. I had anorexia, then I had bulimia, so this was kind of over 5 years. I went to varsity, I had bulimia, so I was throwing up my food. So when I went to varsity, I stopped throwing up my food. So technically, I stopped having bulimia, but nothing in my mind really changed. So I just started eating too much. So actually, I said to someone the other day, in my first year, like the weight that I'm now is my normal weight. In my first year, I weighed my normal weight plus a certain amount, and that amount is more than what I gained in either of my pregnancies. So even when I was 9 months pregnant, I was still smaller than I was in my first year. So I'm not talking from a place of, you know, I've just always had this down, I'm just so blessed with this metabolism, I don't have any problems. I had my share of years. You can ask me for some pictures. I was nice and round. But that is because there was a problem in my spirit, there was a problem in my mind, and that led to problems in my body. And at the time, I stopped throwing up my food, but in year, nothing has changed. So then I actually just went to eating too much, and I'm trying to think where I was going with that. What was I saying just before that? Oh, the Maker's Diet. So then a lot of people, thank you, Lindy. A lot of people were following this Maker's Diet, and I read it, and I just felt God told me not to follow it, and I know why, because it's just another rule. That's not to be healed and delivered. That's just to try another method by yourself. But what I found was that a lot of people were quite condemning towards me for not following it. It became this thing where some people thought, if you ate like that, you're a better Christian. And that's what this says. Do not let him who eats despise him who does not eat. Do not let him who does not eat judge him who eats. And I've had this, I mean, this is to me is quite like a common thing. There's always people out there who eat in a specific way, who thinks they eat better than someone who does not eat that way. You know what I mean? And I hope that at the end of this today, I can explain what I feel God has showed me, like, what is the real thing? You know, that it's not really about the eating or the not eating. Do not with your food destroy him for whom Christ died. And then it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What did we say in the beginning? Yet I show you a more excellent way. It's not about eating and drinking. So when we think on this level of eating and drinking, we can never get to the solution ever, because that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not primarily nutrition. Okay, so we're still going to get that to something that you understand. Colossians 2, the 16 to 3, verse 2, you can go read the whole thing. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food. Did you guys know that the Bible speaks so much about food and eating? These are shadow of things to come. The substance belongs to Christ. Let's go down. Do not submit to regulations. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Man-made rules. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism, cutting yourself, and severity to the body. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And this, can I translate the scripture for you? A diet is not going to help. Rules or methods or theories have no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Set your mind on things above. So things on the earth have no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Again, 1 Timothy 4, it says, in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. It is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Matthew 15, do you not see that whatever passes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. There's so many things, if you think through the scriptures that I've read. The first few scriptures speaks about gluttony. We can surely see that God is not into overeating. The scripture in Ecclesiastes speaks about the fact that food is to be enjoyed, and I believe that food is a gift from God, and definitely, especially for instance in fellowship, food is something that should be enjoyed. I believe God says through all these scriptures that we've read that we cannot justify to see any food as evil. Food is not evil. It's like Johan said about money. Money is not evil. It's what is your heart? How do you use it? How do you trust it? No food is evil. Chocolate's not evil. Fat is not evil. Wheat is not evil. I don't know what people think are evil, but I don't know all the diets, but food is not evil. It's what is in your mind? What are you thinking? We're going to see now when I read further in the way that the body and the mind and the spirit is connected. But I can tell you as well, and I mean, we'll prove it now through scripture, but I can tell you through experience. The problem with, so God is not into overeating. God is definitely not into starving yourself. If you remember that one scripture, it said God's going to do away with the earthly body, and He will create in us a glorious. He's going to create a glorious body for us. We also cannot, on the one hand, we cannot let go of ourselves, you know, and just eat what we want and just be completely, like the word says, a glutton. But on the other hand, it's not about vanity. It's not about this body and what you make of this body, because this is just an earthly body. It's a tool. We're a steward of it, but we don't idolize it. We don't worship our bodies. And so what is this place? Where's the will of God? Where is the right, where's the more excellent way? And something I can tell you from experience, having had anorexia, then bulimia, and then overeating, it's the same problem. It's how much of your thinking do you spend on your eating? And you can even be nutritionally perfect, like in perfect shape physically, and you're eating all the right things. But are you thinking about it 20 hours a day? Do you measure everything you eat? You know, do you know, like, the exact amount of fat and calories and whatever? I don't even know what people do these days, but when I was at Varsity, that was what people did. They looked at the label and they had a count. Like, you can have so much fat a day and so much this, and they would the whole day be adding and subtracting and calculating, so that, you know, and if you went over today, then tomorrow you have to go under. And but what's the overall problem here? What are you spending your mind on? Is your mind on things below, or is your mind on things above? If you idolizing food, you're eating too much, you're eating too little, you're eating perfectly, that's the symptom. What's the origin? Where's your mind? Is your mind on the earth, or is your mind on things above? Even when we follow rules about what we can eat or what we cannot eat, how much of your mind time are you spending on that? And then, of course, what is the result of that? Okay, God said, I show you a more excellent way. What's the more excellent way? What was the next chapter? Love. Okay, so we on earth, who knows why we on earth, actually? Wow, you're all on earth. Shucks. Why are you here? Why? Those of you who know Christ, when you got to know Christ, why didn't you go straight up to heaven? To extend God's kingdom. We're here because other people don't know Christ. Otherwise, when you got to know Christ, you just go straight to heaven. Because heaven is much better than here. The only reason we are still here is because other people don't know Christ. And the way that we extend the kingdom is through love. So the only reason why we're here is to love God, to love others, and to love yourself. The Bible says love others as you love yourself. Did you know that? So you must actually love yourself as well. And you know that that's one of the main reasons, I believe, and it was definitely for me, why sometimes we don't take care of our bodies. You don't love yourself. You can, of course, love yourself too much. Idolize yourself. But what we should accept ourselves and have a good self-esteem, that's also of Christ. And I find that when I have a good self-image, I naturally take care of my body without worshiping it. But what I was saying is the result of spending so much thinking on eating is that you spend so much less thinking and praying to God and loving others, because your mind is on yourself. And that's obviously what the enemy likes. That's what he likes the most, probably, is that you're spending all this energy and all this thinking on yourself. I've also found sometimes, and this is something that you can just check for yourself, do you believe more in your way of eating? Do you believe in the gospel? Is it easier for you, is it easier for me to convince Tinashe to eat a specific way because I eat that way? Or is it easier for me to convince him to love God because I love God? When I meet people in the shop, at work, in the gym, am I more inclined to speak to them about a way of eating, a way of exercising, a way of looking after your body? Is that my more natural conversation? Am I evangelizing people for a lifestyle? Or am I evangelizing people for Christ? What the heart is full of, the mouth flows over. Matthew 12:34. So test yourself. What is flowing out of your mouth? What is in your heart? What are you spending the most of your time thinking on? I was on a mission trip once, and there was a guy on the mission trip that no one, I'm sure none of you will know. It's quite long ago. And he was following a diet at the time. I really don't know what, but I know it was very, like, I think it was kind of like the Maker's diet. You could only eat things that were very natural, like that were not produced in specific ways. I don't know. So we went to Nigeria, and I promise you, you don't find that food in Nigeria. So he took his whole stash of food along on the mission trip. And when other people were preparing food for us, he offended them because he didn't eat their food. And my question is that the heart of God when you visit someone, that you don't eat their food because of your own way of thinking? And also the one day we were going on an outreach and the bus left, and like when we were about 2 minutes away, I was like, no, please go back, please go back. He forgot his bread at the hotel. And that's like, he cannot eat our food. He has to eat, it's his specific bread. So we have to go and fetch it because he needs it for the day. And I remember the missions leader was not impressed. but what, and I'm not nothing against the guy, but what I'm saying is, what was on his mind? What was he spending his thinking on? Was he spending his thinking on the outreach? Or was he spending his thinking on what he's going to eat today? That one scripture says some of the people who walk away from that more excellent way, their God is their belly. I want to say I'll bring it all together at the end, but your mind, your body, and your spirit, they're all linked. Okay, so there's this old Indian story. The Indian says there's a white dog and there's a black dog. And the white dog and the black dog, they're always fighting. And someone says to him, which dog wins? And he says, whichever one I feed, it's the one that wins. Okay, so you have your spirit, you have your body, and you have your soul. And a lot of our entry points in life is through our soul, definitely as well, through your spirit, and a little bit through your body as well. But a lot of it is through your soul. And if you think of where you put your soul, your thinking, your emotions, and your decisions, what you're feeding in there is what determines whether your body or your spirit wins. If you're watching a lot of TV, a lot of movies, reading magazines, Cosmopolitan and FHM, then everything you're putting in is feeding your body, and your body is the one that will be strong in that spiritual sense. If you're reading a lot of the Word, if you're worshiping, if you're spending time with God, then you're giving a lot of food to your spirit. Your spirit is the one that will be winning. And I preached last year about deliverance, and I want to say that there's definitely God is wanting us to be delivered. I've seen over the last few months 1 to 2 people a week for deliverance, which is a lot more than normal. So God is challenging us to get delivered. And deliverance, I find such a glorious thing, because sometimes in life, sometimes even before we are born, sometimes through things in our lives, it could be our fault, sometimes not at all our fault, we get demonically oppressed. And I have to say that it happens to everyone. It really does. And I want to encourage you guys as well. That's why it's so crucially important that we do the Encounter series, not just for deliverance, but for healing, to understand the church, to understand community. I want to encourage you guys, you must do Encounter 1, Encounter 2, Encounter 3, Encounter 4. There's Encounter 3 coming up. It's not a nice course that the church has that's going to enrich your life if you feel like doing it. It's like your lifeboat for spiritual growth and maturity. You shouldn't think of it as like a nice optional enrich myself. You will certainly be enriched, but it's crucial that you do it. We don't think up courses that we like and we just, you know, think, oh, we should have 10 courses at church, which 10 should we have? No, we think, what is the journey that God has each one of us? And you know, we don't preach on Sundays. We don't often preach the most basic discipleship, because Kathleen has been in church for, what, 15 years? More? 10? Kathleen has been in church for 10 years, and she doesn't want to hear the same sermon every month. She says she doesn't mind. Okay, some other people. That's why we put those basic discipling disciplines into the Encounter series. And it is just so important that you do it. And besides it being important, it's amazing. Really, you will not do it and not be changed. So especially if you guys haven't done Encounter 3, I think it's the next one coming up. Register. Do it. It's important. Encounter 4, we do deliverance. It's important. It is a difference sometimes between life and death. I did Encounter 4 when I was just saved, Varsity. Then I went through this whole story of mine with all the eating stuff. And at Encounter 4, I got delivered of a lot of things. It was really amazing, but I wasn't delivered of my eating problems. And then the next cycle of Encounter 4, I was facilitating. And I remember in the manual said, you cannot pray for someone for deliverance for something that you are not delivered of, which they've changed, by the way, because it's not true. But that's what I thought at the time. And then, of course, the first night, guess what? Praying for someone. What's their problem? Overeating. So I put up my poker face, and when I got home, cried, said to my flatmate, I can't go back, I can't pray for her, I'm not delivered. So my flatmate said, well, there's still tonight, you only go back tomorrow. So we prayed, and I was delivered. And what I can tell you is that, for instance, for me, the way that I used to eat was I would like chips and chocolates. So I would buy a slab and a big pack of chips, just like always when I'm at the shop or every day or whatever. And then I'm at home, and then I get this feeling like I have to eat it. I have to. I cannot not eat it. I have to eat it. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. And then I eat it. And it's like, I can't eat half of it. I have to eat the whole thing. And especially when you start, it's like, once you pop, you can't stop. It's really true. I think that's a spirit, that one. And then I got delivered. God delivered me from that spirit. And immediately from that moment, when I looked at food, I didn't have that feeling. I was in the habit of eating a lot, so I still ate, because if the food is there, I would just eat it because that's what I always used to do. But I didn't have this voice in my head saying, I have to eat it, I have to eat it, I have to eat it. And over a short time, I just taught myself not to eat it, because not to eat it when I'm not hungry, because it was just a habit. So there was a spirit, and from a spirit, you need deliverance. And I want to encourage you guys, do Encounter 3 so that you can do Encounter 4. You have to do Encounter 2 and 3 to do Encounter 4. Do the Encounter so that you can do Encounter 4. Do it. Get delivered. If you need more deliverance after Encounter 4, you phone us at the office. You do Encounter 4 again, or you facilitate it. You often get delivered when you facilitate. Or otherwise, we make an appointment with you. We help you. But I feel strongly, especially in this time, it's like God is saying, this is it. You know, it's a good time now. Get delivered. So there was that deliverance, and that's in your spirit. And then there's the habit, which is in your soul. And that habit is something you can unlearn. By the way, if anything in your life, you have a habit which you absolutely cannot kick, I want to propose that you need deliverance. Because often that's the spirit. When there's something you really try so hard, you pray so much, and you cannot stop doing it, often that's the spirit. You need deliverance. And when you've done the deliverance, then it's much easier to break the habit. Okay. So I believe God shows us through the Bible as well that there are spirits. I've seen spirit of control. We want to control what we eat, often with anorexia, bulimia. A spirit of vanity, when we're so into what we look like that we actually look amazing, but we spend all this time thinking about it. There is a spirit of gluttony, something that makes us eat too much. There is other ones as well. And then, as I said, that one scripture which said, rules have no power over indulgence of the flesh. So I believe that that's why, I mean, everyone knows that diets don't work. Everyone knows that. But still people do it. And a lot of people make money out of it. But that's why. Because rules have no power over the indulgence of the flesh. If you look at exercise, 1 Timothy 4:8, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And Kathleen said amen. Yeah. It's actually amazing because I've seen with Kathleen, I was at her party the other day, and some of her kids were there that she trains. And it's actually like the scripture, Kathleen, because Kathleen does all kinds. She's got Active for Life. It's a, what do you call it, a company? A school, I don't know, company. And she trains kids physically. But she knows, and she'll say it to you if you ask her. She's training them spiritually. That's what she's doing. And there's amazing fruit in the lives of those kids. And I think that's why Kathleen could say amen. But the Bible says physical training has value. That's what the scripture says. But godliness has value for all things. Spiritual training has more value. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, it's really not rocket science. How much time do you spend on your physical exercise? How much time do you spend on your spiritual exercise? It's a very easy sum. How much thinking do you spend on your physical exercise? How much thinking do you spend on your spiritual exercise? How much money do you spend on your physical exercise, on your gear and your races? How much money do you spend on your spiritual life, on the kingdom and on God? On the other hand, obviously the Bible also doesn't promote laziness. Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider ways and be wise. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 10:26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. God doesn't approve laziness, and that is something that the Holy Spirit can help us with, but he emphasizes that spiritual training is to be at a higher priority than physical training. Sleeping, Proverbs 24, pass by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. That to me sounds like a snooze button. A little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Proverbs 20, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread. But I want to say, Psalm 127, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Okay, so God does not want us to strive over work. Certainly that's not of God. But God also doesn't approve of laziness. Sicknesses. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Okay, so we know that the will of God is for us to be in health, in our physical bodies. And I've read quite an insightful book on healing quite recently. And if you email Shaf Online, ronabosch@shafonline.org, you can ask, Gabby, I'll give the book to her. It's a free PDF book. She can email it to you. And it's a lady, doctor, and she's done a lot of research. She uses Henry Wright's research. I don't know if some of you have read it. He's written a lot about healing. And it's very amazing to read it. She explains medically how what you think in your mind manifests in your body. So in your mind, these neural pathways, they can take a photo of it. It's a literal thing. It looks like little pathways. And the proteins build what's called dendrites. It looks like little trees. Okay, so this is all in your brain. And your whole life, these trees grow in your brain. And they have different shapes. And it's like every time you think, you grow a little tree. And if you think about the same thing, the tree grows bigger and bigger. So in your mind, things that you think a lot about, they are like big trees. And things that you don't think a lot about are small trees. And then she said that literally, and you can see it on a medical scan, it's a very specialized brain scan, but certain thoughts of fear, traumatic experiences, bitterness, unforgiveness, that whole list of things, the trees look different. You can see it. So when you think something positive versus thinking of something fearful, your hypothalamus, which is at the back of your brain, where all your hormones come from, secretes different hormones. And the hormones that secrete it when you fear or when you're bitter or unforgiving or you think negative thoughts, when those trees in your mind grow big, you secrete more of those hormones And it's adrenaline, cortisol, and she named a few others she don't remember. And literally, an excess of those hormones in your body makes you sick. They can cause cancer. They can cause osteoporosis. There's a whole lot of diseases that they cause. So they can actually medically link a lot of diseases to your thinking. Isn't that just what the Bible says? Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your thinking, prospers. So that's why the Bible says it's important to renew your mind. And you can actually erase trees in your mind. That's what it's called, renewing your mind. And you can actually then build positive ones when you change the way you think. And it's interesting for me, one of the things I say is to change a path, a neural pathway. So you have one way of thinking, you want to change it. Some of them takes 21 days and some takes 40 days. And isn't that often how people fast? Don't they often fast 21 or 40 days? Isn't it amazing? So some habits, they say, if you don't do it for 21 days, you can kick it. Others for 40 days, you can kick it. It just coincides with the word. And that's not coincidental. It's the design of God. Proverbs 9, the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. For by me, wisdom from God, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. Okay, so to live longer, obviously you need to be healthy to live longer. And the word says, the wisdom from God is what makes you live longer. So literally, as you're thinking about God and the word, you become more healthy in your body. Proverbs 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body. This will bring health to your body. Not to be wise in your own eyes, to fear the Lord and to shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And that means your bones, like your bones. So, for instance, when you're pregnant, you learn a lot about these things because you're always thinking about the baby, and you learn, you know, how important it is for a pregnant mom to drink calcium because the baby's bones need to form. They need to be nourished. But the Lord says it's not just about the calcium. It's about fearing the Lord, not being wise in your own eyes. Literally, this kind of thinking brings health to your body. There's a literal connection. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones, literally. So in the same way, in terms of sicknesses, your body is influenced by your mind. Your thinking will influence your health, whether you're thinking in line with the word of God or not, and also your spirit will influence your health. There is definitely something called a spirit of infirmity, which is a specific demonic spirit that makes you sick. There is definitely some sicknesses that occurs on a family where that's often with hereditary sicknesses. It comes that, you know, the grandpa had it, the mom has it, now the children have it. Do you know, according to the word of God, you can stop that thing. Just because the previous six generations had cancer doesn't mean that your generation will have cancer. In fact, in the name of Jesus, it will not. But that's something that we need to take authority over, and where we have to spiritually break off that chain, and we have to declare the blood of Christ to step in that new place. Proverbs 4, my son, listen to my words, bow down your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to his flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So in your heart, in that which you think, out of that flows the issues of life. That's why the Bible says keep your heart, your emotions, that which you think. You have to maintain it because, you know, sometimes we think it doesn't matter what we think because it's just the thought. You know, like it's not like thinking something bad about Johan or like hitting him. You think hitting, that's the bad thing. Thinking's not so bad because it didn't do anything to him if I thought something bad. But what you don't know is it did something to you. Literally. And that's why God says to us to to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, and to renew our minds. And this is a more excellent way. Because when it comes down to the same thing. When we guard our hearts and our minds from thinking evil, then we don't waste all that time on thinking those things and actually being detrimental to our health. And rather, we spend that time loving. Connecting to God, loving God, connecting to people, loving people. And we don't let the enemy steal all that time and energy that was supposed to go into loving, into the kingdom of God. Put away a wicked mouth, devious lips. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. So if you look at that picture of the spirit, the soul, and the body, there's interaction. Everything influences each other. And as we read in the beginning, God says, may your soul and your body and your spirit prosper and be in health. May they be preserved blamelessly. May they be kept without injury and without fault. And that's God's desire for us. So, yes, God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be stewards of our bodies. God's not into overeating. He's not into undereating. God's not into putting your mind on diets all the time. God's not into oversleeping. He's not into, you know, working so much that you never sleep. He's not into never exercising. He's not into over-exercising. But if we think on that level of those things, we'll never get to the answer. Because God says, I show you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is love. Where am I loving? Am I loving God? Am I loving others? Is my mind on things above? Or is my mind on things below? And I believe tonight, actually, I could sense it when we were worshiping. Really want to commend the band. Where are you guys? Where's Stefan? There's Stefan and Megan, Neil. Who else was here? I love the trumpet. Love the trumpet so much. But all the band, I really want to commend you guys. And it's such an honor for me to have this band. Won't you guys give them a hand? And I'm not trying to flatter them or be funny, but it's a privilege that we have people who are expanding their gifts that God has given them and who are seeking the heart of God and allowing us to go on that journey with them. It's really a privilege. And as the band was worshiping and when Stefan was singing as well, I saw it, that there's this open window. You know, and the scripture that actually came to me was, draw near to God when he is near. Call upon him when he is near. And the other one is, do not miss the time of your visitation. You know, this picture that I had is of a window. I can tell you that yesterday, something in the spirit shifted. For sure. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but one thing that I know tonight is that right now there's a window. And I know that God wants to heal some people now, and we're going to pray for it, and I believe he's healed Situ, because when we were worshiping, I had that pain. I felt it, and I knew God said that there's someone here who has that exact pain, and he wants to heal it. And he wouldn't show it to me so specifically if he didn't exactly desire to heal you tonight. I'm going to trust with you that you healed, and if that pain comes back, then you phone the office, and we're going to pray with you. And if we need to do deliverance, then we do deliverance. For sure, God wants that thing to be gone. I can tell you that. And I know God wants to heal some people tonight. And he wants to deliver some of us. And when I prepared the sermon, and if you forget everything, then this is what you must take from tonight. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Reach forward for the upward prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. And I'm not getting this right myself. I'm not so good at this. I'm not making it and, you know, overcoming everything in my life and really reaching for the high prize. Sometimes I'm really bad at this. And I can tell you that the last 3 months I've been bad at it. I've struggled and it's been hard for me and I haven't had enough quiet time and I haven't pressed in enough. So I'm not saying this to you from a place of, you know, I can do it so you can do it. But we can do it because of Christ. And I have the sense that God is saying now. Now is the time. This is the window where he wants us to go beyond. And I know for some of us, it's not about health. It's not about your eating or drinking or sleeping or exercising. It's about your money. It's about your dreams. It's about your career. It's about your ideals. It's about your family. I don't know what it is about. It's about something else. But what God is saying, and this I'm so sure of, is this is the time to get way beyond that line of, you know, what should I give to be a Christian? This is the time to trust God. I know it. This is the time for us to challenge ourselves and step way beyond. And it's so scary. The kind of things God asks me is so scary for me. I won't even go into that. But I believe this is the time to do the scary things. Just do it. God is saying, trust him. I know this is what he's saying. You can trust him. You don't want to do it because you think it's going to be better for you not to do it. If God says, take your entire life saving and give it away tomorrow, everything, every what's it called, stock you have, every saving, every, I don't even know what you have, your trust, whatever. Put all of it together, give it away tomorrow. Can God ask that? Someone is sure. He can ask that. If he says, do it tomorrow, will you do it? It's scary, so scary. But I believe this is the time to do it. If you are in a wrong relationship and God is saying to you tonight, you phone that guy, you walk away, never look back, you take his number off your phone, it's over. If God says that to you tonight, will you do it? I hear some people laughing. Maybe God is saying something. whatever that thing is, if God says to you, you know, your whole life you said, I'm going to be a politician. This is my dream. I'm going to be a politician. And tonight God says to you, you know, I understand that, but that's not my plan for you. Give it up tonight and trust me. Are you willing to do it? We don't want to do it because we think, no, God, the best for me is to be a politician. I know better than you. No, God, it's not best for me to give away all my money. Because what about my children one day? And what about their university? And what about when someone gets sick? And what about this? And I know better than you, God. Lord, it's not best for me to walk away from that relationship tonight. Because what if this guy, I am supposed to marry this guy maybe. Because I know better than you. And tonight God is saying, and in this time he's saying, trust me. I know you. I made you. I'm God, actually. I know. Trust me. When we walk in what he has for us, it's best. And it's going to be fun. It's not going to be suffering all the time. God's not like that. He's into joy, actually. And he's into contentment. And what he's asking you is for your best. So I believe there's things that the Holy Spirit wants to work in our hearts tonight. And if the band can please come down. We're just going to trust him. Some of us need to be healed in our bodies tonight. And we're going to pray for that. Some of us need to be delivered. And maybe some of us will be delivered tonight. God has shown me that. And some of you, God will just start, and you will need to come to the encounters and to us at the office to finish that deliverance, if maybe God starts something tonight. And I know for most of us tonight, there are things that God is saying. And I even want you to write down what God says to you. Because, you know, sometimes it's easy now to know God is saying. And I was in a relationship like that for 2 years. And I, of course, I like the guy, otherwise I wouldn't be in a relationship with him. But when we got together, we were both not Christians. I became a Christian. Then, of course, the relationship wasn't working too well. It doesn't work well if one is a Christian. Then he became a Christian. I was like, yes, this is the word of the Lord, and I'm going to marry this guy. And there was a night when God said to me, tonight you cut this off, you walk away. And it's like I've never seen my life without him. My whole life was planned with him. So to walk away from that is like falling down a hole. I have nothing. I don't know where I'm going. And I praise the Lord, I had good friends at the time who really, I don't know if you guys know Lita Hahn. She's quite a firecracker. I spoke to her and she was just like, I have to do it. do what the Lord says tonight, not tomorrow, tonight. You need friends like that. You need friends who lead you in the way of God. And I phoned that guy, and I mean, he had no clue what was coming. We're dating for 2 years, and here I am. Sorry. Cheers. Oh, and I'm like wiping your number from my phone. But you know that guy came to Christ, but he wasn't very committed. And I walked away, and for months he was still trying to get back together with me. But eventually he also walked away. And you know that today he's really serving God, and he's married, and his life is going where God has for him. And he's a very successful businessman. And that's always what God had for him. And after I walked away, God showed me, God is not calling me to the business world. God calls me to ministry. And if I marry that guy, for the rest of my life, I will never live my calling. Maybe I'll be happy, but I will be in this way following Christ. I'm not going to be pressing for the upward prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, and the high call always has a price. But the joke about the price is, you feel like you're paying a price, but you're just getting something better. That's always the thing. It's so funny, actually. You cannot outgive God. You cannot give up something for God and really lose something. You never lose. When you give up something, you always win. That's how God is. But enough of that. Let's pray. Let's all stand. If there is anyone here, and I'm speaking to church members now, our church members, and if there is anyone here, and I don't want anyone to leave right now, except the pregnant lady has to go to the bathroom. but I don't want anyone else to leave unless you're on duty. Because let me actually say that. You know that this time now is the most important time of the evening? And actually, this is going to go for every service from now on. I mean, if your child is in the mother's room and is joking, I understand. But short of that, in the ministry time, we don't leave. Okay? If you have a very important thing, then you leave before the ministry time, in the middle of the sermon or whatever. But otherwise, you wait, because this is where God is touching hearts. And we're not going to stand in the way of the Holy Spirit, even if it's not for you, if it's for someone else, we're not going to be distracting them by us walking out. The service is important, the sermon is important, the worship is important, but this is where God moves. So what I wanted to say was, if there's anyone who are church members who have a word of knowledge for healing, okay, so somewhere through tonight God showed you a specific pain or a disease that someone has and he wants to heal it, then come and share it quickly. So we're just going to give about 2 minutes for that. If you're a member of this church and God shows you, gives you a word for healing, just please come and share with me quickly. Okay, is there anyone else? Okay, we're going to share, and then I want you to, if the people share, then I want you to, if you don't mind, to indicate where you are, then we'll pray for you.
I just, like, for a few minutes now, I've been feeling like a warmth down my ear, like here, like behind my ear and down this side.
So if there's anyone who has something with their ear or you're on the side, is there anyone like that who want to pray for you?
Is it a specific side?
This side. On the right side, like here by your head or your ear. Shall I just wait by Jason, and then when we have everyone, we'll pray together.
I've had stomach pain for the last 15 minutes, and then I felt it's not mine.
Okay. Is there someone else? Sometimes it can be more than one. Someone else with stomach pain? Okay. Janina? Dinesh?
Yeah, I just got a sensation on just this side of my face, around this area.
Okay, so it's the same, something on the right side of the face. Okay, that we got that word twice. So also just so that there's definitely something. But sometimes also, and let me tell you this story. I was in a meeting like this, And a guy came forward and he said he had a word of knowledge for someone who has a nerve pinched in their back and their arm is sore. And he said it a few times and no one came up. And suddenly I was like, oh, shucks, it's my dad. Because my dad has had that for maybe 4 months. Something about the way he slept. He pinched a nerve and his arm had pins and needles the whole time for 4 months. And he went to the doctor and he went to a chiropractor and they said the only way to fix it is to have operation, but it's like 50-50. Like, it's not even to say that it will help. And when I clicked it, I went forward and the guy prayed with me. We prayed for my dad. And I I phoned my dad, but his phone was off, and I phoned my mom and she said, no, he's on a plane on his way to Sweden for work. So then I never said to him we prayed for him. And then he was in Sweden for a week and then he came back. And then I phoned him, and we were just talking, and I said something about his back, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, that's sorted out completely. And I said, oh, actually, at this meeting, we prayed for you. And he was quiet, and he said, what day, what time? And at the exact time that we prayed for him, on the plane, he got healed. And he thought it's like the way he's sitting, it just like, you know, the nerve got out. I was like, no, no. So if you know someone with something on the right side of their face, the ear or the side of the face or the head, then please speak to Tanash.
Hello. I just felt God wanted to heal someone with an old knee injury.
And then I just had a sense of the jaw. Something, the jaw. Okay. Duncan, will you pray for Johan? Okay, so what we're going to do right now, and that there's people, yes, will you please pray with her? So how this is going to work is, Lindy, we will pray for you as if it's your mother. And then we're going to trust that God heals that. So I'll just wait for her to get to you. Okay, so all of you that God showed, I'm going to pray now, just a simple prayer, because God heals. All we need to do is ask, and there's someone, that person is there laying hands on you. As the word says, and really, really going to trust for that healing. Okay. Lord, we just come to you, and we thank you that you're faithful to show what it is that you want to heal, Lord. And we thank you that we can declare healing right now in Jesus' name. God, we speak to that lady's mom. We speak to that jaw. We speak to it to relax now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you put your hand on a jaw. We stop that tension now and that stiffness and the pain. We command it to stop and to loosen in Jesus' name. We ask God for your perfect healing and that jaw would not get stuck again or not move easily, but that it would be smooth, that you would heal the joint, Lord, and the tendons and that connection there. And we just declare that it would be perfect in Jesus' name. And whatever is causing that to happen, we ask that you uproot that, Lord, in Jesus' name, and bring perfect healing even to her thinking, in Jesus' name, Lord. And every other thing that you've shown now, every other ailment, we command healing now, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your hand, Lord. We trust for the blood of Christ to heal that right now. We thank you that you've made provision for our healing in the word, Lord, and we trust for that, in Jesus' name. And I also want to ask, those of you who are praying for people, check with them. If they still feel that pain, then please continue praying a little bit more. But I want to ask, is there anyone else who needs any healing? Put up your hand for anything in your body. Okay, so just keep up your hand. So will someone, just for every person whose hand is up, will someone just go stand with them quickly, please, to pray for them? And just lay your hands on them. Okay, so we're going to pray, and you just lay your hands on that person. I'll pray, and then you just pray as well. Just ask them where the pain is. If possible, put your hand on the place where the pain is, if it's not inappropriate. So, Lord, we thank you that we just trust in your healing right now. We just release healing on every ailment, every sickness, every back, in Jesus' name. We speak healing to stiff backs. To backs where there's something out of line, we just command it to come into line now, in Jesus' name. Father, I just sense the same as Scooby said, stomachs that are tense and it's actually caused by stress. We speak to stomachs to loosen now, in Jesus' name, for that pain to stop. And it feels like it's clenching. We command it to relax now. In Jesus' name, we cut off that fear and that stress. We thank you, Father, you're just opening lungs. People feel they can't breathe. We thank you that you relax lungs and you open it up. And thank you even for anxiety, Lord. For those who experience anxiety, that you're coming tonight and we command that anxiety to stop. We command that spirit which ministers anxiety to go now. In Jesus' name, that voice of fear to go now. In Jesus' name, and we just speak release in Jesus' name. So just continue praying for the person if you feel the need. We're just going to give a minute or two. Please don't leave yet. We're still going to continue. Okay, is there anyone who's had a pain or something wrong who could feel a change? Who could actually feel a difference? Now. Is there anyone else? Please come and share with me.
Oh yeah, I just had a headache for the past 2 days and stuff, and then yeah, Sandila just prayed for me just now, and I can just feel it getting better and better, and my head is getting lighter and lighter, yeah. In a good way.
And thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else who gets something to share?
I had a sore knee, and it's definitely feeling better after Donovan prayed for it.
Okay. Let's just thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. Thank you, Father, for that knee. Thank you for that headache. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your healing. And we thank you, Father, for every other thing that you've shown. We trust for complete healing in Jesus' name. We thank you that you continue that which you have started in Jesus' name. Okay, so we're also just going to pray for some of us. There's something spiritual that's got a hold, and we're going to pray for that.
Good evening, everyone. I just felt that there's, when Leona was preaching, that there's three people that suffer from that spirit of infirmity, and what it means practically is that you just keep getting sick and sick and sick over and over and over again, and it's not dependent on how you eat or how you live. It's a spiritual thing. And when God told me three people, I was like, shucks, I hate that because it means I'm putting my head on a block. But what I felt with that specifically is God's also saying specifically three people because you should realize it doesn't reflect on you as a person. It's the devil taking a chance with you. It doesn't mean you're a poor Christian or that you're not worthy. It's just the devil trying to take ground he doesn't deserve. And the word of God declares that it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So really, I just want to encourage, if that's something you associate with, just that you stand on the word of God because he's bigger than that sickness.
Okay, so deliverance is not a spooky thing. Okay, we all need deliverance. And it's really like, you know, getting the flu sometimes. You get the flu, you get better. you're not a bad person because you got the flu, and you're not a bad person for getting better. It's not like that. Deliverance is the gift from God, and I've seen in the last while, I've been, and that's actually what I wanted to say tonight as well, when God says there's a more excellent way. You know, I've seen over the last few weeks how the demonic can influence a life, and I've seen it in my own life. I've had deliverance quite a few times for myself, and just to see how much influence there can be on a person from the demonic realm just made me think, you know, how much more influence should the Holy Spirit have in our lives? How much greater is the Holy Spirit than the demonic? How much bigger is God than the enemy? If the enemy can pull someone down, how much more, when we tap into the Holy Spirit, should we be living way beyond normal? You know, people, like Rhiannon was saying now, a spirit of infirmity, it's literally, there's something on your life, and it's probably not even your own fault. It came through your genealogy or whatever. Or someone spoke it over you, you don't even know about it. But then you continually get sick for no reason. And obviously that's annoying, and it's not the will of God. And, you know, how much can that drag you down? How much of your energy can that steal, of your time? And that's the enemy. How much more, when we're tapping into the Holy Spirit, should we be supernaturally healthy, you know, and energetic, and how much more should we be living in that high calling of God in a more excellent way? And I believe that's what I'm saying tonight. That's the one thing I believe God is saying. It's time for us to just get beyond and step into that place with the Holy Spirit. But God for sure wants to deliver us. So if you feel that word is for you, that you continually get sick, you might have a spirit of infirmity, or if when I say that, you just feel your spirit says yes, then just show me where you are. It's not at all a shameful thing, and we're just going to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? You get sick, we've got one. Okay. Is there anyone else still? Let me just check. Someone you know, okay. Okay, cool. So we're going to pray, and even for those of the rest of us, we're going to pray as well. And we're all going to trust God for deliverance from whatever is influencing our lives that's not of Him. All I need to tell you is that deliverance is a choice. Jesus died for you on the cross. There's no reason for any of us to be oppressed by the enemy. It's a choice. I'm going to pray, and you agree with me. If you agree with me, then we can command anything out of our lives by the blood of Jesus and the power of the cross. That's the key. But if you're under the blood of Christ, if you've come to the cross of Christ, then we can command anything to go, and that we can stop that influence of our lives. So those people, someone next to them, would just lay hands on them. Thanks. Okay, so let's all pray together. God, we thank you that we can consecrate our bodies in this time. And Lord, I pray over this congregation, everyone who's here and also everyone who's not here. I thank you for this time where you're really wanting to take us beyond. And I sense that you're saying, God, that in this time, it's just unnecessary for sickness to hold us back. It's just unnecessary for oppression to hold us back from that high calling, to hold us back from just putting our love and our energy and our thinking on you. It's just unnecessary for us to put our thinking on food and sickness and all kinds of other things and ourselves. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we take authority now over those things, and I command every influence that's not of you to go now in Jesus' name. Specifically those three people, Lord, that you showed. We cut off that spirit of infirmity now in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would come and uproot it and cut it off from where its source is, Lord, and that you would set free. So we command that spirit to go in Jesus' name. We cut off your influence, and we declare healing over those people now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for this process that you're starting in every life. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us how to walk in deliverance, Lord, and how to walk in our freedom going forward. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Matthew?
Scripture says that we should set our mind into the things that are heavenly, things that are above. But you know, there is no way for us to set our mind into the things that are above if we don't know the God who's in heaven, if we don't know the God of the above dimension. There is no way for us to really experience what it is like to be healthy spiritually. They've been speaking about food and many things that we usually eat, but spiritually, maybe some of us have eaten funny stuff. And we need to get to be alive again spiritually. We need to get to be born again. And that is being done by giving our lives to Christ. And it's something that we do. We don't do just silently. It's something that we do publicly, where we declare, we release our faith. You know, Jesus came and found this guy that couldn't see. Jesus didn't just arrive and pray for the guy. The first thing that he did, he asked him, "What do you want me to do?" Jesus knew that the guy couldn't see. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do? What do you want? What do you want to receive?" The guy said, "I want to see." And if your decision this afternoon is you want to know this God who is in heaven, our Father who is in heaven, if everything here sounds very strange, that these people can feel, can hear the Lord saying, this person is struggling with this, this person is struggling with this, and you want to get into that same dimension where you can hear the Lord's voice, Jesus said that my sheep hears my voice. And if you hear, you've never heard the Lord's voice. Maybe you've been hearing it years before when your heart was still on fire for God, and you've lost it. You really want to recommit your life to Christ. I just want you to lift your hands, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God for such a new beginning. We're just going to pray for you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, maybe you've done it, but it was religiously. But right now, you want to start a very new journey with Christ. Really want to say, Lord, I give you my heart. Maybe you did it in a song. Maybe you did it in a concert. It was just an atmosphere. It was just an ambiance. But right now, you really want to do from the bottom of your heart, just saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to get into a place of knowing you. If that's you, please lift up your hand. Just be bold. Lift up your hands. It's not for me, but it's for Christ. Thank you for those hands. Just be bold. Don't be shy. Salvation is about demonstrating your love for Christ.